God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, this evening. Thank you for the saints, Lord, and their evident love for one another. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this day. Lord, thank you for ordaining it. Lord, I'm very thankful that I can talk with you. And Lord, that you could set forth it in motion. And for your people, Lord, just being sensitive to the needs of others, Lord, that has really blessed my heart this day. And I ask that you would just bless this time, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention here in God's word in verse 22. And the Bible says this, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman." And I want to talk about the woman God had made. And I'm very thankful for the church here just allowing me to be a pastor and also a romantic fool, hopeless romantic. And most of us guys are pathetic at this. But 37 years ago, my beautiful wife was born, and God blessed her. And what we have here tonight, babe, is we got a little bit of a celebration for you in a little bit. And it was kept from her. I don't keep anything from her because, as most of you men, I'm scared of my wife. I really fear what she can do to me. She's good friends with Pat Mountney, and that's fearful enough. Never mind Tasha Buckle or Mrs. Hollingsworth or any of these other ladies. But one of the things that I appreciate about this church is when I looked at coming here, Brother Pat Hollingsworth said, "We don't need Superman. We just need a pastor. You just love your wife and your kids and be faithful in that, and we can help out in the rest." And what I've seen from this church is you guys have allowed our family to be just that. I promised my family when I came here, and we came here, and it's hard for a preacher, Brother Matt, your dad's a preacher, Brother, you're a preacher. You just don't ever shut it off. And you men understand that. You work your jobs. It's hard to leave that job out of your brain. And being a pastor, it's hard to do that as well. But I promised the family, I said, I want you to have a better life and more of a life and more of me in that life. And this church has really made that possible. But what I want to do is I want to speak on biblical womanhood, and I want to honor my wife at the same time. And I just believe the Lord is pleased with that. But I am thankful for women and just the role that they've had in my life. And I wouldn't be here today without women. They had the predominant role in my life. And I got to watch women go through horrible times and tough times and triumph through. And I'm very thankful for how God works. You know, a woman can burst into tears in 3 seconds, and that's okay. But if a man does it, he has a mental problem, okay? And I think womanhood is such a unique thing because all we are really allowed to do as men is enter the house called womanhood, but we're really not allowed into too many of the rooms. And ladies understand what I'm saying? And us guys try to figure out what that riddle is. But that's how it is. But God made women. And I think in churches like ours that they need to be celebrated. And I want this message to be an encouragement for all ladies here. And I'm really thankful for the mindset of this church that we recognize that we have spiritual giants amongst us and ladies that love the Lord and honor the Lord. And ladies, you have to because you're married to us. That's really the truth of the matter. There's a lot of go-getters in this church, and a lot of ladies are the picker-uppers because they have to be and because really that's what we need. And as I thought about this passage of Scripture, I thought about the woman that God made, and I thought about my wife, and I thought about ladies here as I've watched and looked at ladies here, and I thought about young ladies coming up. And I thought about the woman that God had made, and I want to just give a few thoughts on that, and then I want to celebrate. And let's celebrate together. And church family, thank you for that. Everybody behind the scenes just working, it's a blessing. The woman that God made provides companionship. Look at what the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." That word alone means solitary or separated. Adam named all the animals. He saw the male and female. And I don't know how it happened. If he looked at one of the rivers that was in the Garden of Eden and said, "Wow, I'm glad the horse has a mate and the giraffe does and the birds, but what about me?" And he's all alone. I remember meeting Amber, and of course you try to be that tough guy. "Yeah, I got it all figured out." And you know, I remember in those days I'd pump iron before she'd come over because that's what us guys do. You know, and you're like, "Yeah." I had a deep voice like Mountney. "Yeah." And then I learned to relax, and I could have the voice that I have. Not all of us need to sound like Wolverine, but anyway. And, you know, just stupid things you do to just try to impress that. But it changed my life. I'm going to tell you something. I was a writer of country music. I wrote effective ballads. And when I met Amber, I'm not lying to you, I wasn't able to write them anymore. And the reason was I was happy. And it's really horrible for your music career when you can't write those sappy ballads or those different types of things. And it's just like, wow. And the guys that you try to write with, they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm actually content in my life. I'm in an excellent relationship and I'm happy. So the equivalent of that is I got my house. I'm not an alcoholic. I have a dog and I have a woman that loves me. Well, songwriters don't want to hang around you when you have those things in your life. But I'll never forget the first time we kind of had to part for a bit. Amber had to go to Edmonton and she was working at a photo studio and she had to upgrade her training. And I'm telling you, that's when I first realized that I need that woman in my life. And as men, we don't like to admit this. Yeah, I'll get it figured out. Hungry man dinner, 4 minutes, 25 seconds. But Terry, it sucked, man. She's in Edmonton, and I'm like, wow, total misery. And guys like, you're going to be okay? I'm like, yeah, but it feels like a part of you is gone. And I really feel for people that have lost their spouse. You know, there was a time in our life when Amber, I was 35 years old. And I mean, God was blessing. We had that church established in a few short years. The building paid off. I'm 35 years old, going to speak at my first national conference of pastors, trying to address men that have been in the ministry longer than I've been alive. And while most people didn't know that day that I was doing some screening for colon cancer, they're pretty sure I had colon cancer. And there was Amber and 5 kids. And I wasn't worried about facing 100 pastors and giving them a message, because God always gives his preacher a message without question if you walk with him. But I had started to talk with Amber. I said, you know, if there's something bad, you need to consider what's going to happen after me. Now, I was hoping that if I died, it'd be a short, ugly, fat-looking toad dude that could raise my children and love my wife, because he couldn't do it as well as I could. And she just said to me, she goes, I'll never remarry. And she said, what about you? And being a typical guy, oh, yeah, you know, this little. But I could tell by the tone of her voice she meant it. She goes, I said I'd marry you and marry you for life. And then it dawned on me, I didn't think she wanted a man kind of trying to boss around any other days of her life, and I couldn't blame her for that either. But companionship. And she just said, it's going to be okay. So I got to go in for the ultrasound and everything they're doing, address these pastors, and I'm worried about my life. I was sick, didn't know what was going on, losing weight. And Amber was right there. And you know, when I think about the woman that God made, she provides companionship. And if you have someone in like that in your life, you ought to thank the Lord. Young men, let me speak to you. If you've got a faithful mom, you should thank God for her every day. And I'm going to tell you something, what these ladies look for, and you ladies tell me if I'm lying, and what these men look for, they watch how you treat your mom. And that's an important thing. They watch how you treat your mom. And as a pastor, I would never recommend a young man for marriage if he treated his mother horribly. I don't even recommend that he stays alive long, okay? But I definitely wouldn't recommend him for marriage. But she provides companionship. When I think about the woman that God made, she is complementary. And what does that mean? Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 here, what the Word of God says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. And verse 20 says this. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. That's a helper. That's a one who assists. That's somebody that surrounds. That is somebody that completes. I think about this poor lady. She gave up everything that she could possibly want in life. And she really found out that the Lord wanted me to be a preacher of the gospel. And she gave it up willingly. When we left Whitehorse, Yukon, I mean, we had the nice plush condo. I'm telling you, it was great. You know, the clubhouse was just being built. Had the tiger by the tail, and the Lord said, I want you to leave this behind. And, you know, I went from making $65,000 a year to making $11 an hour in Manitoba. And she just trooped through. And you try to hammer through Bible college working a full-time job, full-time Bible college, preaching in the gospel missions. The point of exhaustion was there all the time and just came along and helped. And, you know, there's times, many times, this is a special night for me, but many times I missed a lot of the kids' birthdays or the anniversary. You're tied up in ministry-related stuff. And what she's always done is say, your dad loves you and your dad loves me. And you know what, ladies, we need that as men. I mean, just look at us. Take a look at us. Like, you look at this. I mean, this isn't a whole lot, but just think if it wasn't for that lady's influence, it'd be a whole lot worse. And I look at some of you guys, and I'm sitting there thinking, like the old president and his wife traveling in the southern states. They're driving there. They pull up to the gas station, and there's a guy pumping the gas, and the one president looks at his wife and says, you see that hick over there? If you never married me, you'd be married to this loser pumping gas. And she said, you got it wrong. If I married him, he'd be president and you'd be the loser pumping gas. And I've learned long ago, and I think you folks have seen it, that Amber is my secret weapon. She really is. I look at some of you men, you're driven like I am, and she makes me human. She reminds me, you have children. They do need a dad. I am a woman. Flowers are nice once in a while, okay? And you can be nice. You can say thank you. You can have manners. And usually I shut my selective hearing off and I block it out, but there are days that I do listen. The woman God made compliments her husband. Not an easy thing to do. And ladies, I want to tell you, ladies in this church, thank you for doing that. And it needs to be said, because that's exactly what we need. I've never met a man who's been successful in life if his wife hasn't been behind him. It just doesn't happen. I can think of men this year alone that are out of the ministry and their families are busted up. And they're no different than I am or you are, but just difficulties in life. I think about the woman that God made, and she encourages closeness. Look at what the Word of God says in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the Word of God says in verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. And verse 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He says he's supposed to leave his mother and father. That means to loosen. That literally almost means to the point of forsaking. And I'm telling you something, that's an interesting conversation that you have. I remember talking to my mom and said, hey, I met this lady. And I remember specifically being in Whitehorse, Yukon, the day that I chose my wife over my mom. And that was a monumental day. Mom had a few choice things to say, and my mom is opinionated. You'll probably meet her next year. She's not saved, and Pete's already laughing because he's met my mom. He says, you and your mom are both stubborn. We learned it from Pete. Okay. She had to be, just growing up the way that she did. But she had some things to come between me and my wife, and my wife comes first. And folks, that's how it's supposed to be. You leave your father and mother, and you cleave to your wife. And we had some of those interesting dynamics with her side of the family. One particular occurrence was at our wedding day, and my mother-in-law just recognized the man that her daughter was marrying. And, you know, that's my responsibility to care for my wife. And this church, thank you. You just don't know what it means to me. The way to honor me or my family, and I don't believe in any creepy form of honor in that, is just to love my wife and my kids, and that means the most to me. And I think most men here would think the same way. Treat my wife and my kids well, and we're going to be fine. And that's the truth of the matter. There's a closeness. She encourages it. That word leave tells us that the man is willing to do that. Think about it, leaving the bonds of mother and father for the woman. And then the word cleave is mentioned in verse 24, and it means to catch by a pursuit. It says it there in verse 24. It says this, and said, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It means to pursue hard, to leave and to cleave. Now think about it for a second. It's easy when the chase is there, right? think about it. You're like, wow, I got a chance at her. Like, she is way out of my league. I'm going to snatch up that pretty little thing as soon as I can. Guys, you know that language that I'm talking about. Ladies are like, is it really that barbaric? For us, it is. That's as romantic as we could possibly express it. You're like, wow, I just thought it was more of a love thing. It's like, no. Yes. This is the one that I want. Okay? Carl, spears aren't allowed. Okay? You just have to do that thing that God puts together. Okay? Now, here's the deal. You cleave. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like that. Guys, can I just say it? It just seems like when the chips are down, your back's against the wall, you don't know if you got a friend, it's a comfort to know that you have a life partner. It really, truly is. That's a comfort. And that's a huge blessing. And, you know, I like to be like, hey, there's been times that lady has scrapped for me. And I've seen ladies here, you fight for your marriage, you fight for your husband, and praise the Lord for it. That's a blessing and a half. The woman that God made encourages closeness. And then I see this here. The woman that God made provides comfort. Look at verse 25, and this was a passage of scripture that's always been interesting to me to understand what the meaning of it is. And it says this in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You say, that's so simplistic. I don't think it's as filthy as people make it. Because there's a purity to a relationship. I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that Solomon said, he says, I'm amazed at the way the man is with the maid. Ladies, I think one of the most humbling things that I see in my life is this. How you relinquish yourself for your husbands. That's such a humbling thing. And I'm not being weird with that. It really, truly is. I think about that as a husband, and I think about this, that this person has given up so much for me. Bore me 9 children. Put up with me. Loved me. Not killed me when I deserved it. Okay? And you think about that for a second. What does this all mean here? That word ashamed means to be embarrassed or disappointed. You think about that for a second. There's nothing like the comfort of a woman. Us guys can give each other a pat on the back. Yeah, it's all right, Mountie. You'll do better next time. It's okay, Daniel. Suck it up, Buttercup. But a woman soothes. And there's a comfort to it. And I'm going to tell you something. I've enjoyed the comfort of my cup of coffee the way I like it. I've enjoyed the comfort of a good kick in the rear end when I've needed it. Absolutely. You're being a little bit too big for your britches, Mr. Yelani. And you're just a boy that grew up on an Indian reserve with no running water, and don't forget it. And at the same time, when you're down, feels like you're just down in the dumps and you're agreeing with everything that Satan says about you, yeah, you're right, I'm a loser. Well, I'm an even worse loser, yeah, you're right. It's nice to have somebody to pick you up. And ladies, we need that spirit here, and I'm glad that it exists in this church. And we want to encourage this for generations. You see, the ladies in this room, they can be so many things. Really, the possibilities are just limitless. And yet, thank you for choosing to just have the role of biblical womanhood, to execute that with such grace, such humility. And it helps us guys to be less of an ogre and more of a godly man. And I'm thankful for that. And church, thank you for allowing this romantic fool to just have a few words to honor my wife and also take the time to honor the ladies. And young ladies, you just grow in grace where you're at. You're beautiful in your own right. God made you that way. And you keep going on that path and honoring the Lord. And you're precious to the Lord. And church family, let's watch over them and encourage them and not let the world pick on them and the devil pick on them. There's really nothing like a woman. Really, truly. It really helps temper us as men. It helps our young men grow and to be gentlemen. And just the tremendous impact that you have on society. So, honey, I love you. Looking forward to our time of celebration. And ladies, thank you for who you are. And I trust that you feel honored coming to this church. I'll tell you this. I feel privileged as a pastor to have you here. I know your men appreciate you. And we just want the Lord just to be glorified in our midst. And I'm thankful that when you look at society today, there's a Christian woman. And God honors that and God blesses that. And I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness unto us. Lord, my prayer tonight is that you'd help us as men, Lord, to love the daughters that we have, be thankful for the moms that we have, the wives that we have. It doesn't take Mother's Day to do that or birthdays to do that, but Lord, it sure makes it easier for us. Thank you for being gracious unto that. Thank you for the ladies of this church, spiritual women, prayer warriors, ones who put others before themselves, one who keenly look out for the interests of their children, those that teach our kids, work in the nursery. I pray that you bless them, Lord, and I pray that you would help us. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord, for what you've set forth this day. And thank you for a church family that's just so caring. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could just have every head bowed and every eye closed just for a second.